Think of a song you really love.
Don't you want to know why you love it so much?
Well, we can't answer that.
No, but we can deep dive into it anyway.
Unless we get too sidetracked.
We're the Never Mind the Music podcast.
One musician.
And one psychologist.
Talking about iconic songs. The musical tricks that blow our minds.
And what they show us about our minds.
Join us each week as we pick apart everything from TLC to Weezer.
And from Billie Eilish to Bruno Mars, with plenty of distractions in between.
Check out Never Mind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today, I have my good friend Chris with me. We're going to be talking about Peacemaker Season 2, Episode 1 and 2, The Ties That the Grind, and A Man Is Only Good As His Bird. So let's go ahead. We might actually have some bird blindness going into this. We don't know yet, but I promise you, we might actually have to have some eye drops to see a doctor for it. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about Peacemaker Season 2. And hey, man, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great being back. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Yep, this is actually your second appearance on here. I know that we did the studio, and we had a good time with that. So we're like, hey, let's go on ahead. Let's try to do Peacemaker. So I have to say, I enjoyed Peacemaker Season 1. And then going into this, I was like, okay, I wonder what we're going to be getting as far as a Season 2. What does it look like? Are people still going to be hyped for this? Because this came during the pandemic of, you know, the pandemic. So I wasn't sure it was going to still have that same hype around it that it did back then. But some people are still talking about the show, and some people really still love it. But I was not expecting it to have a different intro. And at first, I'm not feeling the intro for it because I love the very first season of it. And I'm like, do I like this? Do I not like this? And then once I started listening to it, I'm like, wait, this is Easter eggs into the other episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I kind of like this now. So what's your first initial thoughts?
Well, it kind of threw me off for the whole dance and everything, but I really enjoyed it. It was unique, and it was an attention grabber, really.
I agree. Did you like the song at first, or how were you feeling the song for the intro or anything?
You know, at first I was more looking at the dancing and stuff, I think. And then I went back and I rewatched it. And then like the music was like, yeah, you know, I kind of like this.
Exactly. Because at first I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm feeling this. And then, you know, once it starts playing, okay, you know, this is what they're giving me. Okay, I'll go with it.
Right. And just have fun with it. Right.
Exactly. Because that's exactly what this is. It's just one of those TV shows that you can turn off your brain for a couple of hours and just enjoy Peacemaker without taking it too seriously. Because if you're going into this thing thinking that this is going to be like Superman or anything like that, the whole entire tone is different for this show.
Yeah.
And not only that, but if you're looking for something that is going to be a lot more serious, you're going to be disappointed in this. What you see is what you get with Peacemaker.
And yeah, that's something you're not going to have you're not going to have a Titans feel to it or a Gotham feel to it. It's going to be a little different and a little more, I don't know, fun-ish, I guess.
Exactly. I think that everybody knows their roles. They know what they're getting into, especially with James Gunn doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, you already know that this is actually going to be one of those shows that you don't have to take seriously because of James Gunn.
Yeah, and I think you kind of had that opening too, because it kind of sets it apart from the new Superman movie that just came out too.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And then did you catch the recap, the changes in the recap?
No, I didn't. I didn't see the recap of it or anything.
Okay. So there was the recap at the beginning of the first episode. They actually changed out the end of season one. Where all the heroes appear at the end. At the end of season one, you had the Flash, Superman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And now it's all the characters from the new Superman.
Right, which actually makes sense because they didn't want to have the confusion of the DCEU going into this. They want to do a whole entire separation from the DCEU, and this is actually the DCU now.
Right.
And you know, what I have to say about this is I like the fact that it takes place 3 months later and everybody's facing their own battle, their own things, right? You have Peacemaker who's trying to try out for the superhero gang.
Yeah.
You also have Amanda Waller's daughter who wants to be like a private eye PI person mm-hmm. or agent. You also have Amelia Harcourt who ends up where basically the military is telling her, hey, look, we don't need you anymore. Your services are no longer required. And she's trying to fit into a society that does not even want her. Right. Anything. And she doesn't know what she's like Major Payne. If you think about it, it's like all she knows is war and how to be angry. And if she's not fighting, she's going insane.
Yeah, she's that hardcore agent that's all she's trained for and really knows and was working towards. And not having that fight constantly just kind of is wearing on her. Kind of like a soldier's coming home from war.
Exactly. But what did you think the whole entire thing about Peacemaker wanting to join up with the Justice League gang and then... I like how everybody's coming out of there crying because they didn't make the cut. And at first, like, okay, they're just devastated because of the fact that they didn't make the cut or anything. And then you find out that the microphone is busted, where he's putting on the taking off the mute and then
the intercom. Yeah.
Then you realize, oh, everything that they're saying behind these heroes' backs, or the people that's trying up this gang. They can hear, and it's like the most awful things that they are saying about them. Like the camel toe thing, and the thing about Chris. He goes, oh, he's boring. Another one about his dramatics.
Oh, is I want more popcorn. And, you know, my butt's starting to look a little big. Yeah, I didn't catch it the first time. I watched it 3 times because I enjoyed it, right? And right. I also wanted to keep it fresh. I didn't notice Bunny Girl running out at the beginning. And then the comments at the end of the interview when Peacemaker had already left, it's like, how many times did I say that? How many times did I comment on?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, that was great. And then Guy, it was like, no, I didn't set it up. Such a typical Guy moment, right?
Exactly. And that's what I like. I like these moments with Guy, and he's just being a smartass and everything. Stuff.
Yeah. I love Nathan Fillion. He has been great in the new series. He was great in the Superman. He's been great so far in this, and he's doing this on top of doing Rookie.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's such a great actor.
He is, and I think that you need someone like Nathan Fillion to play this role because he's just knocking out of the park with this, and he's able to bounce off of Peacemaker in a sense with the humor and things like that.
Yeah,
he knows exactly what Guy Gardner is, and he's setting the tone for what the show is. So I like the fact that we have this whole entire thing where we're introduced to him in Superman, and then we have more of him going into it, and it's more of him busting balls even more, but he can actually do it a lot more freely because it's not a PG-13 movie.
Right.
So he's able to just let it, this like Guy just Gardner.
Let it go.
Right. This is like Guy Gardner uncaged.
Yeah.
You know, and just letting him off the handcuffs and just let him do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, it's great. It was good seeing them in this. And then what parts did you enjoy?
So the thing that I have to say, too, is like when Chris comes out, he goes, fuck this gang. I don't want to be in this. They're a bunch of dicks.
Right.
He's a dick himself, but...
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't want to be part of their stupid gang anyways.
Yeah.
And then I like also too where you also have Amanda Waller's daughter who shows Chris the card that she has. He goes, who the fuck is that? That's me.
Oh, that's me. No, that's not you.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
We all do that though with our avatars though. That's what it reminds me of. It's like we want to be like that big bulky guy with the muscles and abs and stuff. Exactly. Yeah. What she wants. She wants to be that petite, muscular kind of girl that can take charge. And that's what she sees herself as.
Reminds me of Brad Paisley's song, Online, where every time he goes online, he loses another 10 pounds and grows another foot or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. It's everyone's presence online, just trying to make themselves look better.
Exactly, but this one I want to tell you too. I know at first I said I didn't really enjoy the orgy thing because I felt like it was just for the sake of being there.
Yeah.
And once you told me that it was just him, Chris, just trying to be himself and try to get over everything that he's been through, and he's not even feeling it himself or anything, so he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go on ahead. I'm gonna have an orgy. I'm going to see how that goes. Do some cocaine. See how that goes, too.
He just saved the world, right? And it's right. Like no one even cared. No one's throwing him a bone. No one's helping him out. He just tried for this justice gang, and they were just saying crap about him. And his love interest, Amelia, isn't really talking to him.
Right.
And he's trying to find some grounding, go back to his usual self. The Economist even says, you know, was it Economist? No, it was another agent. Well, he's notorious for being like this. So you can see that he's trying to ground himself and come back, but I think it was just filling his head so much that the rejection and stuff that he's getting, even though he just saved the world from
an alien invasion.
Yeah. So,
and like, nobody cares. It's like, okay, good for you. Let's just go back to our normal lives. And that just sucks because he's trying to basically he's trying to change. It's just that nobody's trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that he can change. Everybody always knows him as like that dick that everybody knows. That's all. And he's saying, hey, look, there's more to me than just this.
Yeah. And he's just that guy that, you know, he's a hero, but he goes around and he just kills people and he's a D-bag, right?
Right, exactly.
So who cares? You saved the world. We have Superman over here. We have Gotham. We have Batman, you know?
Right. And also, like, this other thing, too, that they do, and I didn't notice this until, like, the rewatch, too, was where they made fun of 30 Seconds to Mars. And that was, like, a nod to Jared Leto.
Yeah. That's a horrible song. Yeah. It's even in the end cutscene, too.
Yeah,
they make fun of it.
Then also too, I like how Chris goes through the other dimension, through his dad's closet, and you know, at first, I like also how this alien just comes out during the morning time just to dump his trash, and then goes back, and Chris is like, "Good morning."
He just makes some noise, and then walks in.
And Chris is like, "Well,
screw you too, man."
And then Eagly just and also too, the whole reason behind this is because Eagly is wanting to go outside. It's also snowing, so he lets him inside that little quantum room, and he travels through there and he sees Chris winds up seeing all the helmets that his dad made.
Right, as he's walking through, one of the things is like, did he never walk in that section before? Because it really didn't seem like that far of a walk to me, you know? That kind of threw me a little bit. Like, or maybe it was something that he only kind of just went into that entrance for the helmet stuff or whatever.
I think that was more like, you know, this is my normal, like he said, this is his normalcy because he always had it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that his dad only made him go into the parts where him and Chris were always at. So there was never a need to travel through there or anything.
Right, that's true.
So that's and what I was thinking with it.
And then he had to go find Eagly because Eagly was just going off.
And I like how his father just stops him and he goes, you look like you've seen a ghost.
They're the tidy whiteys too.
He has tidy whiteys on. And
yeah, you look like you've seen a ghost. Are you sleepwalking again, son? What the heck?
Yeah.
You can see the immediate terror. I think John Cena did a great part with that. The horror, like, oh my God, he's back. He's alive. We just killed my dad, right?
Right, because he's responsible for killing his own dad. Just as he's also responsible for killing his own brother.
Yeah.
And it's like, in this universe, and we're going to get into this, episode 2 in a minute, but I feel like, you know, he gets to have everything he wants in this other universe. to where he doesn't feel that brokenness. He doesn't feel that loneliness. He can actually have everything that he lost back.
It's that, also that perfect reality for him.
Exactly. Because why would I want to be in the brokenness of this world? Because that's basically the DCEU world.
Right.
In a sense, even though it still has Guy and all that in it, but I'm thinking that there's also going to be another version of Guy that we're going to be introduced to in that world. But yeah. It's like, you know, I think that it goes to say, like, I don't want to be depressed in this DCEU world. I want to be in this DC universe world where I have everything back, where I have everyone, and not have to worry about Randall Flagg Sr. coming after me.
Yeah, because he finds out that he's in charge of Argus now.
Yeah, he's in charge of Argus. Not only that, but he's also just found out that he killed his own son.
Yeah, Flagg just found out, like a few months back, according to the show?
Yeah, I think it was like 8 months back, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because Economos had to get him the paperwork.
Right, and goes, how am I locked out of my own files when I'm the acting boss of this facility?
Right.
And John's like, I don't know, it just happens to be like that.
Yeah, it's just, well, now you're in charge, so I guess you get the papers.
But what did you think about Adrian, who just wants to hang out with everybody, and nobody wants to even...
Hey, listen to this, that it's Owl.
Right.
I know everything about owls. Well, it says what are owls' eyes shaped like? Tubes.
How is that even possible? Wouldn't they just fall off?
Veins, I guess. Veins.
I don't even know.
You know nothing about owls. And just, he was sitting there and it was like, quiz me. And then his boss walks out. He thinks he's all cool now that he's the manager. We used to be friends.
And then we also have the other thing, though, too, where Chris is now face-to-face with Peacemaker. Because he ends up hanging out with his, you know what I'm saying? Because now Peacemaker holds the gun up to him, in the back of him.
Right.
And now he's having to face off against himself. Now he's responsible for killing that Chris in that universe. So
yeah, because he decides to go back in. He wanted to see more memories, I guess. And then he walks into his room, and then he got that Peacemaker right back to the back of his head, and was like, "Who are you? What are you doing here?"
I also like that other thing he has on his helmet where it takes out the. I think it's called the stars or something. Where
magic stars.
Yeah, magic stars, and it just starts grinding on his skin.
Yeah, that was magic stars activate, and just chases him like homing missiles or something.
And I like how they're fighting inside that quantum world though too, and then Chris winds up taking him and just slamming him up.
Yeah, hitting the booster pack and just. Chris has, like, the worst luck, like, really, when it comes to stuff. I mean, that was just precisely put there just for him to mess up and launch himself into it to kill his double.
Right, his double ganger. But I do think that, now, my question is this. Do you think that he'll stay in that universe, or do you think he's going to try and play both ends where he's going to cross between the two of them?
I think that he's going to try and cross between the two. And really, I say that because at the end of episode two for the coming up next time, it kind of shows a little bit of him trying to do that, I think. So there's a little bit of cheating there, I guess. But
it's okay because I don't ever watch. It's very rare that I watch like the promos and stuff like that. And that's why I make speculations. Up until this Dexter episode that I've done, like I 1 through 8, I winded up watching the promos for that and the coming attractions for that.
Right.
But then with this, I'm just going to go straight into it without even watching anything.
Right. I used to just watch the show and be done with it. But since I started more in the film industry and stuff, I was like, I watched the credits, see if anyone I know is in there. You know, it's fun to see a friend pop up every now and then.
Exactly.
And I then gotcha. I caught the coming up next after episode two. I think he'll be trying to play it back and forth. And I think it'll probably be one of those stereotypical kind of you can't really do that kind of moments. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm interested in seeing how he's able to do that. If he's able to double down on both worlds, but at the same time, though, you have Randall who's over there trying to hunt him. So it's like, right. Why would you want to be in this world when you can just disappear and be in this other universe? And like, you can pretty much, it'd be pretty cool if there was like a way to destroy that part of the door to where he can only be in that universe and nobody else can get to him.
That would be interesting. But then he wouldn't be able to come back to his friends, and I think he's grown a little bit of attachment to him. So that's probably why he'll hop back and forth. Because, I mean, he's pretty decent friends with Leota at this point, you know?
Right. When we've seen them on the rooftop dancing and
save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Yeah, and having a good time. And then Adrian, I think, is starting to warm up. He's starting to warm up to having Adrian around a little bit, even though he's awkward.
He's very awkward. And then also, too, he's over there trying to throw the beer over to John. He's like, okay, one more time.
Just walk it over. John obviously can't catch.
After the third beer, I'd be like, look, I'm just going to hand it to you, which I don't blame him for doing.
Right. After, was it Amelia told him, was like, just hand it to him. Just please stop wasting the beer.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was, like, what did you think of the whole entire bar fight in episode one with Amelia, though, too? Because I thought that was pretty badass. She managed to handle herself inside the bar. And then all of a sudden you have these other two guys, these other guys just blindsided her and just wheeled on her.
Yeah, I think she's going through sort of the same thing Chris is, you know, with the rejection we discussed earlier.
Right.
She's not really part of Argus anymore. And I think she just needed to feel something. And this guy just provided that opportunity because he was being kind of a sexist kind of guy. And she with her witty responses just started the whole fight, and I think she just needed to feel something in that moment. And she's so used to fighting, so she needed that fight. And you could tell at the end of that fight when she's laid out in the parking lot, she has that smile. It kind of gave her that edge, saying she's still there.
Right, exactly. And I definitely like it. I think that you need a little bit of that hard edge, but I think that also too, she realizes too that she also needs Chris because yeah. He's also going through the same things that she's going through.
She just doesn't want to admit it, right?
Right, exactly.
Because she's not good with relationships.
Neither is Chris, which is also another thing that they have in common. Because right. He's just now warming up to everybody as well. So we have that counterbalance of like, you know, with Chris, he wants to have friends. He's just now starting to have friends. He's starting to have relationships with these people whenever he didn't want anything to do with them in season one.
And right.
He just drew that bond, like you said, and now they're together. And he's like, nothing's going to break us up. And then at that moment, you have all these agents that are trying to break into his house to get in, go into that quantum room.
I think really he was just so used to working alone in season one, and that's why he wasn't good with the relationships and stuff. But as we've gotten to know Peacemaker, he kind of needs that relationship. So that's why he's a little more open to it, because he realizes that. But Amelia, she doesn't really want the relationship. She wanted more of the work stuff. So she really didn't pay attention. So it's kind of harder for her to come to that.
Right. But I do like the whole entire thing about the blind bird thing that Aiden has.
Bird blindness, yeah.
Bird blindness. And my wife looks at me and she goes, is that that stupid clip that you showed me?
What is that, yes. A parrot? What's with the parrot?
And also, too, about how they're showing his POV, though, too, on what he's seeing. He goes, yeah. That's a big mother effing bird. I don't know what I'm looking at, but it's me. Hey, Agent Titties. I don't know if that's what he said, but I don't know if he called her in there to look at it or whatever. But he's like, hey, you need to look at this bird.
Yeah. Titties, get over here.
And then he also called Barely Legal. He called one agent Barely Legal because
Barely Legal, Pony Boy, yeah. And then settled on Q-Pie.
Q-Pie was the other one. And then, where was
Mexicali?
Yeah.
Mexicali was the other one. Yeah.
You can call us that. Because, yes, I can.
How else am I going to remember you guys?
And then I like how he also tells John, do not touch anything. Do not do anything. He goes, okay. And then starts typing his keyboard and starts looking at him.
Right.
And then my other favorite thing, too, was whenever you see Amanda Waller's daughter, which is Lee, and Chris and her are both talking. He goes, how the hell do you have a quantum thing inside your house? Because I always had one. Just like how you're always, how you're a Christian.
Christian scientist.
Christian scientist. Because that's not the same thing.
Yes, yeah, that's absolutely not the same.
What are you then? I'm a Methodist. Well, same thing.
I don't even know what that is. You cannot compare having an interdimensional door to being a Methodist scientist. I'm like, what?
The back and forth is great. I mean, they don't miss a beat with it. I really feel the connection between everybody.
Are you having a breakdown? I don't know.
I don't know if I'm having a breakdown.
Yeah.
Because he ends up just snapping at her, and she's like, whoa, okay.
Chris.
But you also have Adrian that comes in there to try to clean up the mess. He goes, wait, when did you have an orgy? Why and why wasn't I invited?
Why do you sound angry? You can't pretend to not be angry and sound angry.
He goes, I'm not angry. Yes, you are. And then I like how they're over there destroying the double ganger body and stuff, too, because Chris is also trying to get rid of it. They wind up chopping the body up, and then the alien's trying to come out of the door. And Chris doesn't get the fuck back open in his door.
That, and if you watch it, Chris is like, he's like sad and like frustrated and grossed out while he's cutting his doppelganger up, and Adrian's over there, he's got a big old smile on his face, having a grand old time. Like, the contrast between the two is like, oh my gosh, Adrian's a freak, man.
Adrian's happy to be there, just to be a part of anybody's life, because he feels like he's needed, because he wants friends. That's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll do this for you. Not a problem. We're friends, right?
I want to meet my other half. Maybe there's a better looking one.
That bad, though, is like if there's even more of a creepier version of Adrian on the other.
Oh, yeah. Someone who embraces the dark side of everything. That would be, oof.
Yeah, that would be definitely scary. But then you also have Lee breaking into her ex-partner's apartment.
Did she really break in, or did she use a key?
She used the key. She had a key.
I mean, yeah.
But, okay, picture this. If your ex breaks up with you, and all of a sudden she just enters your house, starts petting your dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be breaking, even though she has a key, she's trespassing, she's also being creepy, she's not letting things go. I would be asking for my key back.
Right. And she never asked for the key back either.
No.
After that. It's weird. Like, they're broken up, but are they really? Are they trying to, like, I know Leota's trying to get back, sort of.
I think the whole issue, hold on a second. We have a comment. Let's see here. Jay, how long were they broke up? To be honest with you, I don't know because of the fact that they said it was only been like 6 months later.
I think it was 3 months.
So about 3 months, essentially.
Yeah, I think it was 3 months. I think where we started was 3 months after the event. So at least 3 months, I think.
Yeah, about 3 months, and then 8 months on the second episode with Rick Flagg.
There was a few, like, time jump arounds, so I didn't really keep track of it that much, which I probably should have, but I'm pretty sure it was close to 3 months.
But I'm with you, though. I think that what it is too, Lee is so wanting to still be an agent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she's basically wanting to follow the footsteps of Amanda Waller. And Lee's partner is like, look, you cannot keep, you need to do what you makes you happy and not what your mother did, basically.
Right. And she doesn't understand that Lee sorry.
In 3 months, she could have changed the locks. Yeah, Jay.
Yeah, that's true. She could have changed the locks.
You're right.
I think Lee... She's not really wanting to do what her mom wants. She wants to do her own PI kind of stuff. And I just think she doesn't understand that that's the route she wants to go, you know? She just thinks she wants to follow what her mom wants. And on top of that, you know, there's the whole danger factor as well. I mean, you're in a hero universe, right?
Exactly. So.
Especially hanging around Peacemaker, somebody's going to die.
Yeah, and Chris is one of those types, too, where something accidentally happens and he winds up accidentally killing somebody, not meaning to kill anyone.
Right.
But with Rick Flagg, and here's the thing, I love the actor that plays Rick Flagg. I like him in Tulsa King. He's just a great actor. But to see him play this role and him wanting that vengeance for his son because of things that happened in the Suicide Squad movie... And, you know, I'm wondering, like, later on if it's going to be like, okay, well, you screwed up. You killed my son. I'm still pissed at you. But there's going to be something, some type of conflict where something comes in to where he has to work with Chris.
Right. There's going to have to be something. Probably a villain or something from the other dimension sneaks through or something.
Right. Because if you think of it like this, Chris, like, you know, if you're playing both sides of this, if you're trying to go through different doorways and play both sides of the coin, you know, something's going to get through that door.
Yeah, and you know, if there's one door, there's probably half a dozen other doors, right?
Exactly.
Who knows how many doors are in this dimension?
Right, and who's to say that alien won't accidentally go to somebody else's door and open up that door, even though that's his home or something, for example.
Right. Yeah,
there's no set rules with that.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, and I'm excited for it. And I wonder if there's going to be more Suicide Squad little cameos here and there.
I'm for it. I'm for some cameos from the Suicide Squad. I would love to see it, especially the James Gunn one. Not so much as the DCEU one, but
yeah,
you know, I just love what James Gunn did with the Suicide Squad. And the tone that he used for it. It was perfect. But I do like the fact that you finally get the brother, the father, and all them sitting around and having they're joking around. And it's this father and son bonding time that Chris missed. And like I said, he has the best of both worlds now. He doesn't have to be depressed. He can go, it's like therapeutic in a sense. Where he can go in there, go to that universe, have a little bit of therapy, walk out, and then go back into his other world and be with his friends.
If only we could all do that, right?
Right? I would love that.
Yeah. And, like, his dad's not, like, a full-on racist, as far as we could tell, so far in that other universe.
He looks like he's very normal. Like, he's not hostile or anything either. Like, you know how edgy he was in the first season, right?
And there was a trophy in the book lounge library where it said the best trio, best hero trio. So, you know, they're living it up like actual heroes.
But also, Chris also took his ex-girlfriend's phone. Took that doppelganger's phone.
The doppelganger's phone, yeah.
Yeah, he took the doppelganger's phone and started messaging the
girl. Yeah, started messaging. Well, there's no signal in this dimension, and then as soon as he goes to the other one, it sends. Yeah. But still. He's still trying to get that love from Amelia, but he's going through the doppelganger's love life, which that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I agree, because I want to know if she would actually tell the difference between the two of them, especially because every single doppelganger or whatever would have their own personality. It wouldn't be the same personality as like the father, it seems like.
Right. I'm kind of surprised they didn't quite catch that the first time when they're sitting around his father and his brother just sitting there. But at the same time, he was kind of quiet the whole time. So it'll be interesting. And then after his dad and his brother went to bed, he just kind of broke down because, you know, that's the life that he wished he could have had.
Right. And that's what I like about it is the fact that, you know, he's wanting this family to be united again. And now he has that chance. And I just thought that was just very moving for Chris. And just to let it all come in, I think that's what it was too, is not only the shock, it's like, I'm getting to be with my dad. I'm getting to be with my brother again. And I get to live in this moment. And I don't know how long this moment might last, but at least I'll get to be here.
Right, because he never got to see his brother grow up because he accidentally killed him in the fight. So
in a way, this kind of redeems him a little bit because his brother didn't die in that world. But still, overall, I thought the season's off to a great start. I'm totally dialed into it. I'm excited for it. These two episodes were really good. What's your final thoughts on it?
Final thoughts. I think it's going in a great direction. I'm not sure where James Gunn is going to go with it, but I'm all for it. The technicalities, if you want to look at the cinematography and everything, script and everything, has been pretty spot on, and I haven't really seen too many continuity errors. Cinematography is fantastic. So I'm just excited to see where the story goes at this point.
I definitely agree with you. Like, the cinematography is really good. Not only the cinematography is really good, the tone is the same tone that they had from season one. So if you're expecting a different tone, you're not going to get it.
Right.
This is what Peacemaker is. This is what it's supposed to be. There's no in between of it. And if you're expecting something from Superman, like I mentioned earlier, you're not going to get that. That's a PG-13 movie. This is going to be a hard R. HBO Max TV series with James Gunn doing what James Gunn does. And I love what James Gunn is doing.
And it's like, you could see aspects of the Superman movie in there with the guy and everything. And you still know that it's in the same universe, but it's a different group of people. And, you know, you're going to have different personalities and stuff. So it's going to be completely different, and I think Peacemaker is doing a great job keeping it its own.
Right. All right. Well, guys, tell us what you think of Peacemaker season 2. Tell us in the comments below. Jay, thank you for so much for commenting in the comments section. I hope that you stick around for more Peacemaker because Chris will be back again with me doing Peacemaker on the show. We're going to be wrapping up our Dexter review coming up soon this Sunday. It's going to be sad to see Anastasia and Jason leave from the show and everything for our after show. But here's the thing. We are actually going to be doing our Welcome to Derry TV series review, though, too. Rossi and I are going to be doing that. But I do have another announcement as well. So let me pull that up. So this is what I have going on here. I said, so basically we have Josh Prey coming in on September 10th for Who Asked for This? Movie Madness with Josh Prey. So basically it's like this. Who asked for a Speed 2 when we had Speed 1 that was so good? Why did it have to be on a cruise ship? Because of explosions. I do not know why. But it's also spin-offs, sequels, and stuff like that about Who Asked for This. I cannot wait to dive in with him on that, with Rossi and him. That's going to be really fun. I do have my good friend Zoe coming in. We're going to be doing Rookie of the Year for that. And then after that, we're going to figure out what else we're going to do. I know that Chris and I are going to be doing our Peacemaker reviews, like I've mentioned. And Rossi and I will be doing our Stephen King's It, Welcome to Derry review. So that's going to be it as far as this goes. I hope everyone has a great and safe night. Chris, do you have anything that you wanted to add or anything before we close out?
I don't have anything, but one of my projects that I worked on last year, Never Too Old, is actually on YouTube right now. It's a award-winning short film for the LGBTQ community. Nice. If anyone is interested in short films, it is on YouTube, and it was produced by Rolando Lee. Or not Rolando Lee, Rolando Z. And it's really good. We just finished the second part for it this year, and we're already in pre-production for the third part. These are all proof of concepts for the award-winning script Simmering, and it's going to be made into a feature film. And I'm actually proud to say that I will be the second unit director of photography for this final one. So that'll be cool.
Oh, nice, man.
So check out Never Too Old on YouTube if you guys are interested in that.
Do me a favor. Send over the link after the show, and I'll put that in the description so that way you can go ahead and so people can watch that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Don't forget to smash the like button, smash the subscribe button, and all that other good stuff here at Movie Lovers Unite. Also, too, we have merch. So go ahead and get yourself a t-shirt from Movie Lovers Unite. Go on ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcasts from. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Later. And that merch.
Merch.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.